So when I was a kid, I remember putting a specific item on my Christmas list. The item was a CD player. Now, depending on how old you are, you may need to Google CD player, but this was a legit CD player, almost like a boombox. I think it took like 12D batteries. And so I put this CD player on my Christmas list, and then what did I have to do? I had to wait until Christmas morning. Christmas morning finally showed up. We run downstairs, we open all the gifts, and there was my CD player. And I loved that CD player. I used it all day. I used it the day after and the day after. It went everywhere with me. I thoroughly enjoyed my CD player, but not just on Christmas Day. I had a great time opening it on Christmas Day. There was a lot of joy and excitement in opening this gift on Christmas Day. But I got to enjoy that gift long after Christmas. See, there's different stages we go through when we are given a gift, when we receive a gift. That first stage is the stage of waiting. And we wait and wait and wait. There's a lot of anticipation, maybe a lot of impatience, even frustration because we are so excited for what is to come, but we are in a stage of waiting. And then we get to the stage of opening. The moment we are given a gift and we open that gift and we are filled with joy and excitement because we no longer have to wait. But then after the opening stage, we are in the stage of enjoyment. We now get to enjoy that gift that we have been given. We don't just enjoy it. We don't just enjoy it in the moment we open it. We get to enjoy it long after we've already been given the gift and opened the gift. You see, we celebrate and remember the birth of Jesus on Christmas. But here's what we also remember and celebrate, that Jesus has already come. Because Jesus has already come, we no longer have to wait. We no longer have to wait, which means today we are in the stage of enjoyment. We get to enjoy the gift of life that Jesus has already given us. We get to enjoy the gifts that he's already given us. So as we continue going through the Christmas story, I want us to remember that no longer do we have to wait, but now we get to enjoy what Jesus has come to give us. In Luke chapter 2, we get a story of Simeon. We're introduced to a man named Simeon who had been waiting for the coming Messiah. He had been waiting for Jesus, for the Savior. And then he finally gets to meet Jesus. And when he meets Jesus, he's full of joy, full of excitement. But then we see the new life that Simeon is given after he meets Jesus. We see him go from waiting to excitement to then enjoying the new life that Jesus has given him. So Luke chapter 2, we'll pick up his story in verse 25. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him, and he had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Verse 27, that day, the Spirit led him to the temple. Now, I want to stop just there for a moment. That last line, the Spirit of God led him to the temple. Notice the stage that Simeon was in. He was in that stage of waiting. But even while he waited, notice what he was doing. He was still listening to God. He was still following the leading of God. All of us will find ourselves in a season of waiting. Maybe you find yourself there today or soon to be in a season of waiting. Waiting for something, waiting for a prayer to be answered, waiting for what's next. And in that season of waiting, what do? We continue to listen, we continue to follow, and we continue to allow God to lead us, even while we wait. The next part, so here's the Spirit of the Lord leading Simeon to the temple. Next part, into verse 27. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, verse 29, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I've seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. Verse 33, Jesus's parents were amazed or in awe at what was being said about him. You see, the wait is over. We see Simeon again go from waiting to the excitement of meeting Jesus, but then something changes in his life. He's now enjoying this new life because of Jesus, because he has already come, because the Savior has come just as God had promised. So the wait is over, which means we are now in the stage, in the season of enjoying the gift of life, the new life that Jesus has come to give us. Now there's four words that Simeon uses that I want us, just for a few moments together today, to lean in and focus on. Those four words, we see it in what he said, the words peace, salvation, light, and amazed. Those four words, as we kind of dig in and open those words up just a little bit more, those four words are going to point to the life we now get to enjoy because Jesus has already come. So let's start with the first one, peace. Because of Jesus, we can live in peace. Simeon said, now I can die in peace, is what he said. Now, literally what he's saying is, Lord, you can dismiss your servant to go in peace. So because of Jesus, we now can go in peace. We can now walk in peace. We can now live with peace. Remember, the peace that is talked about in Scripture is not a peace that we find only when there is an absence of conflict or the absence of a problem. No, the peace that Scripture talks about, the peace that Simeon is referring to, is a peace that we are given by Jesus. Jesus gives us peace, which means we receive that peace. It's not because things go our way and because our life is the way that we want it. It's because we are in the presence of Jesus. And when we are in the presence of Jesus, we receive the peace of Jesus. John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said this. He said, I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Not in, again, the absence of problems or in the absence of conflict, but it's in the presence of Jesus. He goes on to say, here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. You see, God is faithful. We see that again and again and again throughout Scripture, and especially here in the story of Simeon. God was faithful. God kept his promises. And because of that, we receive peace. The second word, salvation. Simeon said, I have seen your salvation. In other words, salvation has come. And so because of Jesus, we can hold on to hope. We can hold on to the hope of our salvation, hold on to the hope and the promise of being with God forever in eternity. We call that heaven. We have the hope that no matter what we walk through, no matter what difficulty, no matter what struggle and trial, that one day it will all be made right. That's something we can look forward to. But the hope that we hold on to is not just for the future. It's a hope we hold on to in the present, today, right now. Because sin has separated us from God, but because Jesus has come to restore that relationship, now, right now, we get to enjoy a restored and reconciled relationship with our Heavenly Father. That's the hope that we hold on to today. Yes, we have a hope for the future, but that's a hope that we can hold on to for today as well. Jesus said this in John 14, chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Look, no one can come to the Father except through me. When Jesus came, he came to do what we could not do on our own. We could never restore our relationship with God on our own. So Jesus came to do that work for us. He did that by going to the cross. His sacrifice on the cross restored our relationship with God by the forgiveness of our sins. That's the hope we can hold on to today. So yes, the hope of heaven in the future, but we have the hope we can hold on to today by having a restored relationship with our Heavenly Father. Then Simeon used the word light. He, Jesus, is a light to reveal God to the nations. Simeon used the word light to describe Jesus, and Jesus actually used that same word to describe himself in John chapter 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Because of Jesus, we choose to follow. We can now choose to follow him. Jesus has given us the invitation to follow him. Following him leads us to life. Just like he said, he is the light of the world. Following him leads us to life. Without following Jesus, when we choose not to follow Jesus, we're like wandering around in the darkness. So we choose to follow the light. the light of the world that leads to life. We do that by trusting in him. As we trust in him, we follow him. And as we follow him, he is the light that leads us to life. Because the life that Jesus desires for us is not just a life of existing. It's not just a life of surviving and making it through the day or the season or this next year. The life that Jesus wants to lead us to is true life, an abundant life. And that's the invitation he gives us today. We don't have to wait for that invitation because of Jesus, because he has already come. We can choose to follow him and be led to life, true life, an abundant life. Last part, verse 33, Jesus's parents were amazed or in awe at what was being said about him. Mary and Joseph were in awe of Jesus. Because of Jesus, we can have that same response. Because of Jesus, we worship in awe. You see, awe, amazement, is the result of truly seeing who Jesus is and what he has done. So for Mary and Joseph, they were hearing who Jesus really is, the Savior of the world, and it filled them with awe. May we do the same. It might require us to slow down just a little bit more, to pay just a little bit more attention, to be more intentional, but may we recognize who Jesus truly is, the light of the world, the Savior of the world, the one that gives and brings peace and hope and life. May we recognize who Jesus is and what he has done, and may we be filled with awe. I pray in this next year that we would experience more of that. As a church family, that going into this next year, we would experience more awe. Not necessarily because he does more, but because we recognize more of who he is. So may we slow down as we start this new year. May we remember him more as we go into this new year. And may he fill us with awe as we worship him. So as 2025 comes to an end and 2026 is about to begin, may we as a church family continue to remember that just because Christmas is over, the waiting is also over. We no longer have to wait for Jesus to bring peace. We no longer have to wait for Jesus to bring hope. We no longer have to wait for Jesus to extend an invitation that leads to life. He has already come, so now we get to enjoy the new life that he came to give us. So I wanna just walk through maybe a few questions, and you can use these questions in your own personal quiet time with the Lord. If you're around family and friends today, you can use these even as discussion questions as you're gathered together. So let me go through the questions, explain them, and then we'll pray, and then you can go about your day today. So first question is, what part of your life needs the peace of Jesus right now? I'd encourage you to be open and honest with the Lord and the people around you. Be a little vulnerable and a little transparent. What are the current pressures? What are you stressed about, worried about? What feels overwhelming currently? What are the tensions and conflicts that you find yourself walking through? What is lacking peace? And where do you need the peace of Jesus to show up? Second question, what does it look like to hold on to the hope that Jesus gives? In other words, because we have that hope now, yes, the hope of heaven in the future, but we have the hope we hold on to now because our relationship with our Heavenly Father has been restored because of Jesus. So how does that change your perspectives? How does that change how you treat others? How does that change how you walk through and navigate through the difficulties of life? In other words, because of the hope of Jesus, how do you live differently? Third question, how can you more fully follow Jesus in this next year? Remember, following Jesus is not a list of rules. It's not a bunch of do's and don'ts. Following Jesus is trusting in him. Following Jesus is becoming more like him. Following Jesus is living like Jesus. What does it look like for you to look a little bit more like Jesus this next year? What does it look like for you to trust Jesus just a little bit more this next year? Last question, what is it about Jesus that fills you with awe? As we read, when Mary and Joseph heard what Simeon had said about Jesus, their response was they were filled with awe. They were amazed at Jesus. So what is it about Jesus that puts you in awe? What is it about him? What is it about what he has done that fills you with awe? Again, it might require us to slow down, to pay a little bit more attention, to be more intentional, but may we be in awe of who Jesus is and what he has done. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much for coming to be with us. Thank you for that first Christmas that we celebrate Emmanuel, that God is with us. But here, years and years and years later, we still celebrate and remember your birth, but we also remember and celebrate that you have already come, that hope has come, peace has already come, the invitation to follow you where you lead to life has already been extended. We no longer have to wait. So Jesus, thank you that the wait is over. Thank you for giving us new life. Thank you for giving us the gift of peace and the gift of hope and the gift of eternal life that begins today. As we end a year and go into a new year, Holy Spirit, would you lead us? Would you lead us into trusting you more? Would you lead us to grow in our faith? Would you lead us to grow in our relationship with you? In Jesus' name, amen.